Okay, so when Rabbi Brand asked me to come give Dirui Chizuk to the Kollel, I was very much hesitant. I was reluctant to do so, mainly for two reasons. Number one, I don't think I have so much to offer. I think the guys in the Beis Medrash are learning Yomam V'Layla. I think they understand the significance, the supremacy of Talmud Torah and teaching Torah, and I don't know if I really have anything to offer them. That's number one. But maybe even more so, number two, is that I remember from my time in the Kollel, you know, guest speakers are really nice and sometimes they're exciting, but I felt very often the guys, the sentiment was that a person's going to come speak about the chashivas of Talmud Torah or teaching Torah, but many felt that, okay, instead of hearing someone talking about Talmud Torah, why don't we just learn Torah? Meaning, why are we taking away time from Seder? And I'm very much aware of that. I was hesitant to speak because of that, but I think maybe taking a step back, pausing for a little bit to appreciate what we do, hopefully will give us a chizuk. I know getting into the winter months, we're very much into the year, and I think it's beneficial to kind of take a step back at times and appreciate what we're doing and why we're doing it. So I want to start with a cute maisa about the cracked pot. I mean, I think this might be a well-known maisa, but we'll share it anyway. There's this story about the Indian water schlepper who every day went down to the well, carried his pole with two different pots or buckets, one on each side, and he would schlep water from the well, draw it up, walk all the way home, schlep it all the way home, and every single day do the same exact thing, schlepping all that water. The pot on the left-hand side was a little bit cracked, and after 2 years of serving its master, the schlepper, the pot turned to him and said, you know, master, I feel terrible, I'm so ashamed, I have no water in me. You know, I haven't been doing my full share because I'm broken, I have this crack. And look at the other bucket on the other side. Look how much water he's been carrying the past months, the past 2 years. So the master responded, listen, I understand that you might feel bad, but you have to look at your side of the path. On the way back home from the well tomorrow, look at the field to the left and look at the field to the right. And Kachav, the next day on the way back, the cracked pot looked to the left and saw a beautiful field full of blossoming flowers. A beautiful, beautiful field. And when he looked to the right, he saw that there was a barren, barren field with nothing going on there. And the master said, you have to understand, that field with all those beautiful flowers, that's because of you. You've been giving water to them. You've been watering those fields every single day for the past 2 years. And I think, at first, this mashal really represents, I would say, the two goals of the kollel. Number one, we're here for Talmud Torah. We're a kollel and we learn Torah twice a day, or for two siddharim a day. We learn serious, serious siddharim amongst ourselves. And the last seder, a night seder, we learn with Baal Batim, the community, teaching Torah, sharing Torah, spreading the Or HaTorah. So what I want to do for the next couple minutes, or Rabbi Brand asked me to speak for 10, 15 minutes, whatever it may be, I want to talk about, number one, filling up our bucket as much as we possibly can, collecting all that Torah as much as you can, in Mayim El Torah, talking about how we have to go about filling up our bucket, that's number one, and then number two, I want to talk about being mashpia on others, teaching, sharing Torah, and maybe explain why it's actually really not a good mashal. But first, let's talk about filling up our bucket. Number one, we often hear the phrase to be malei kreso b'shasu poskim, to fill our stomachs with shas and poskim. Now that's not just like a random phrase. People say it actually comes. The Rambam in Hilchos Yisurei Torah at the end of Perek Dalet has a phrase that's very, very similar. He talks about being mismalei kreso lechem ubasar, and it's referring to knowing Torah, to knowing Isser v'Heter and Machlokas Abaye v'Rava, even referring to knowing a little bit of the Maisim Merkava. But the Kotzker Rebbe wondered. He says, I don't understand. Wouldn't it make much more sense to say milei rosho? You should fill your head with Torah. What's with milei kreso? So the Kotzker explained that this is actually the best mashal. Why? Because no one ever gets tired of eating. We're always eating. Right? Think about Yontif, right? We stuff our faces the first night of Yontif. The first day lunch, we're so full. You know, everyone like hobbles over to the couch and everyone's thinking, I can't eat another thing the rest of Yontif. But what happens by the time Marv's over on the second night of Yontif, everyone's like, I'm starving, where's the food? Right? No matter how much you eat, you're always going to want to eat at the next meal. And it's not just that. We know that we snack during, you know, not during mealtime. We snack in between meals. We're always trying to hop a little bit here, a little bit there, whatever it may be. It could be a coffee, it could be a snack, but we're always trying to get a little bit more. When it comes to Torah, we have to have this appreciation and this excitement, I would say, for Torah. And I think that's one thing we think about. When we talk about filling up our bucket, to a degree, we almost view it as our job. And it is our job. We're in the kollel and we're getting paid to be here. And it's a serious job with long hours. It's a serious commitment. But I think once you do it every single day, so you begin to think of it more as a job, and less as the opportunity to be learning Torah at an incredibly high level and to appreciate what it means to be learning 3 siddurim a day. Late into your 20s, for some of the guys in the Kol, even in your 30s, it's an amazing opportunity that you have to be learning Torah still. I think we have to be able to appreciate that. The Imre Amos has a similar vort. He always spoke about his chachos and excitement for Avodas Hashem and learning Torah. So one of his Talmidim said, one of the Chassidim said, Rebbe, I don't understand, why do we say Shetargilenu Besorah Secha? So he said the same word as the Kutzker. Shetargilenu Besorah Secha, because no one gets tired, no one gets bored of eating, you're always going to eat again. We have to have this freshness. And Rabbi Meir Peterman pointed out the Gemara in Tainus, Chaf Amud Beis, that's discussing a bunch of different Bameh Ha'arachta Yams. Why were you Zocha to long days? So they asked Rav Ada Bar Ava, and he said, Lo Yeshanti Bebeis Medrash, Lo Shenas Kevav, Lo Shenas Arai. I never slept in the Beis Medrash. Right? So we know sometimes Chaver take a base nap, whatever it may be. But Rav Meir said he's not even talking about, for sure not, he's not talking about actual sleeping. He said he was never Ki Yashin in a Beis Medrash. He was never as if he was sleeping, meaning he always came into the Beis Medrash, he always existed in the Beis Medrash with a sense of chiyus, vitality, his chachos, his shtokakus, an excitement for Talmud Torah, for learning Torah. There's a line from Avigdor Miller. He says, you've never ever seen a kid yawn in an ice cream shop. It's not shayach. A kid doesn't find himself in an ice cream shop saying, I really want to go home and just take a nap. Every kid who's in the ice cream shop is going bananas. He's so excited that the ice cream and sprinkles and everything like a cone. There's just that excitement. Wow, like I'd rather be no place in the entire world than here. And I think that's something that we have to maybe take a step back to appreciate. We're in the Beis Medrash every single day, Baruch Hashem. But I think there needs to be this added level of excitement. And that's really what the Maharal writes in Nesivat Torah, Perek Yud Daled. He discusses the famous psukim in Mishlei, in Perek Beis. L'hakshiv l'chachma aznecha, to incline your ear, to listen. Pasuk Gimel begins, ki im la bina tikra, you're going to call out to bina, to understanding. And then Pasuk Dalid, which I think might be the famous of the Perek here, im tivakshena kakesiv ichach mot monim, tachbasena. Right, if you're going to search for it, and you're going to hunt for it like gold, you're going to search for it like hidden things. So the Maral begins to darshan these psukim. He says the following, l'hakshiv l'chachma aznecha. What does that mean? Someone wants to amass chachma, someone wants to amass knowledge in Torah and understanding, so you're going to make your ear attentive. What does that mean? You're going to listen to every single person who's saying a vort. You're going to want to hear every single side. If you're learning a sugya, you want to leave no stone unturned. You want to look up every Rishon, every Achron. You want to hear it from this guy. You want to hear it again from this person. You want to hear this person say it over. Maybe he's going to say it over a little bit clearer. Maybe he's going to have a different approach to it. You really, mamish, want to know it. And if you want to know, you're going to be listening to everyone who has something to offer. Ki'im labina tikra. What does that mean? Ki'im labina tikra. You're going to call out to bina. So Maral says, and we know already from the notion of a pocket dial, right? You pocket dial. Someone says, oh, I didn't mean to call you. When you call out to someone, you only call out the person if you want to grab their attention. Imagine running after someone, screaming their name. Hey, 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 buddy. You're calling out to him. Why are you doing that? Because you want that connection. You want to grab their attention. Calling out to someone expresses or conveys a real hishtokakus, a chishek, to connect to that thing or that person. And then the Maral says, what's pshat in im tivakshana kakesef? If you search for it like kesef, he says, you have to be matriach yourself. You have to really, really push. How far are you willing to go to understand it, to get it, to learn it, to hear it? The Chavetz Chaim always gives mussar. He talks about how a person will move cities or even move countries for a new job. But what about Torah? How far are we willing to go to hear a new idea? How far are we willing to go to hear a shir? How far are we willing to go to have a chavrusa? What are we willing to do? Are we going to push ourselves to be awake? Are we going to, I don't like the taste of coffee. I don't want to have caffeine. I don't want to do this. But you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do to make sure you stay awake. And then that's what the Maral says on the Mishnah of Ezu Chacham Alo Made Me Call Them. There's definitely an anava factor there, wanting to hear from every single person and not thinking that this person might not have what to offer. But I think more fundamentally, Maral's pointing out here, is that someone who's obsessed with Torah and amassing Torah knowledge is going to want to learn and hear Torah from every single person. Because every single person has a different insight based on, you know, the things that they've experienced in their life. And because of that, they could have a new approach to Torah that you may not have ever understood or heard before that can be so incredibly enlightening. And I think maybe two maislach to hammer this point home. I saw this in the Rav Moshe Tversky biography, where they discuss how he used to listen to Torah tapes or Torah CDs, whatever he had in the car, on the way to the Beis Midrash, on the way, whenever he was driving, he would listen to Shirim. So one of his Talmidim once said, Rebbe, I don't understand. Don't you know this idea already? Haven't you heard this word before? You know, listening to a younger Rav or an Avreich from a Kolo give like some Parsha Shir, the Talmud said, Rebbe, you've heard this word before. And Rav Moshe Tversky, I was trying to find it in the biography, I couldn't find it before the Shir, but Rav Moshe Tversky basically said something to the effect of, yeah, but it's Torah. Don't you want to hear it again? Meaning, if your mom is so excited, Right? And it could be maybe this person has a different approach, but if it's Torah, it's Torah, and you don't care, you want to chazer. It's delicious, it's kihim chayin v'yurachaminu. You're obsessed with it, and you want to hear it again and again and again and again. And I think that's, again, what we're trying to hammer in. I know we're here all the time. I know it's our job. But there has to be this sense of excitement when it comes to learning Torah. We want to convey this ishtokikus. And then maybe just to mention one more Moshe Tversky Maisa, to really appreciate that just the level of Torah knowledge that he had amassed. I know most of us aren't familiar with Rav Moshe Tversky in a personal way, but many of us do know Rav Meir Tversky from Yeshiva back in Washington Heights from YU. And I heard a story from Rav Andi Yudin, a Talmud of his, who was my Rebbe when I was in MTA, who once told me the following. He said that Rav Meir Tversky used to write like shtiklach in Torah to his brother Rav Moshe. They used to send each other Torah. And again, I don't like telling Tversky Maisalach without, you know, knowing exactly 100% all the details in the story, because I feel like they wouldn't be happy about that. But the story basically went that Rav Meir told Rav Andi Yudin, Rav Tversky told Rav Yudin that he stopped writing his brother Chidushei Torah because there was never anything he wrote to his brother that his brother did not already know. That's an unbelievable thing. Rav Moshe Tversky knew everything. He knew Kol HaTorah Kula. You read the biography, it's astounding what Gedolim said about him, what Talmidei Chacham said about him, what his Talmidim said. He knew everything. Yet, he would listen to a little Parsha shir from any little person he could find. Any shir, any CD, any tape, he would pop it in, he would listen to it. Why? Because it's Talmud Torah, it's Keneged Kulam, it's Kehem Chayinu V'Yerachaminu, and I think we have to have this excitement when it comes to the Beis Medrash. So that's Nikud number one, which stems from the bucket that is whole, that's able to carry all that water. So, to focus on the second half for a moment, this bucket with a crack in it, and again, I'll just, I guess, explain right now, actually, why it's not a good mashal. Because the schlepper is telling that bucket, almost as a bidyevid, like, you're right, you didn't carry all that water, but hey, look at that field that you helped flourish, that you enabled, you were the cause for all those flowers to grow. But I don't think what we're doing here is bidyevid whatsoever. Adarabba, I think what we're doing is so lichachila, it's so special, it's so incredible, that we're able to share and teach Torah at a high level to so many different people all across Chicago, to so many different ages, in so many different places. It's mamish, it's a kiddush Hashem like no other. So maybe if I can give a little bit of chizik next couple minutes, before we close, about tipping your bucket, not just a crack in your bucket, but filling your bucket, and then tipping your bucket, how we can maybe get a little bit more chizik in terms of being mashpia and sharing Torah. One of the coolest mishabruas I've ever seen, really, is in Simen Tov Kuf Ayin Aleph. I think it's Sivkat Tanhei, if I remember correctly, where the Shulchan Aruch is discussing what type of chotim have to have a fast. Right? Some people take personal fast days, and he's discussing the different things they might need a fast for. The mishabruas says something unbelievable. He says a teacher, a Rebbe, is not permitted to take upon himself any additional fast days. Because he's going to do that, he's going to be mima'it mimaleches shemayim and gozlin min habrios. Again, mima'it mimaleches shemayim, and he's going to be gozel min habrios. A teacher's job, a Rebbe's job, is to inspire students to teach Torah, to share Torah, and he won't be able to do that at the highest level if he's hungry. To think about what it means for us to go out and teach Torah at the highest level, we have to be on our game. But I think if we appreciate what we're doing, how much we're sharing Torah, how we're impacting people's lives, I think, again, when we take that step back to recognize what we're doing and how special it is, so that gives us maybe renewed energy to go about doing it in the best way. To chas v'shalom, we'll never be m'mayit m'lachas ha-kodesh, but we'll be marbeh, and keep on teaching, keep on sharing Torah. Maybe just one more vart on tipping your bucket. There's a beautiful maral in Nesivat Torah, also in Perek Zayin, and Rav Huttner talks about this also towards the beginning of a Pachad Yitzchak on Rosh Hashanah, on the pasuk Pia Pasim B'Chachma V'Soras Chesed Al Lishona. So what's Torah's Chesed? What does that mean, a Soras Chesed? It's not that when you learn Torah, says Rav Huttner, it can't be that, oh, is it when you learn Torah, to teach Torah, it becomes a Torah Shel Chesed, but when you're learning Torah not to teach it, you're just learning for yourself, it's Torah Ina Shel Chesed? He says, that's not Pshat. Right, again, there's a difference between Torah and Chesed, a Torah v'Chesed, versus the Torah's Chesed. So he says, a Torah and Chesed would be like this. You can be learning Torah, and you can be learning it out loud next to someone who's blind. So you're teaching that person Torah. So yes, you get Schar Talmud Torah, and you're doing a Chesed, you're doing a great Chesed. Those are almost like two actions in one. But Rav Huttner says, when we refer to Torah as a Torah's Chesed, it's describing something on a much more fundamental level. It's describing, again, it's the definition of Torah in its highest form. What does that mean? The Maharal explains that just like Chachma has no gvul, the Chachma, the Das Elokim, Toras Hashem. So just like Hashem and His Chachma has no gvul, Hashem is Ein Sof Baruch Hu. He goes all. He's mispashi to all four corners of the world. It has no gvul, it has no boundaries, it's not mugder by anything. So too chesed. Chesed knows no limits. The Gemara in Sukkah tells us that tzedakah is to the poor people. Only an ani can receive tzedakah. But chesed is to everybody. Aniyim, ashirim, everybody. Chesed has no limits. Therefore, Torah in its highest form is called Torah's chesed. When Torah is being taught, when we are sharing Torah, when we're spreading Torah, when we're enabling this hispashtus, this expansion, the expansion of Torah, within our community right now, that is Torah's chesed, that is Torah on the highest level. Sharing Torah, spreading Torah, is Torah on the highest level. And this is already spoken about in the postgame. Rabbi Kiva Iger is a tshuva, Tinyana Kama, Simen Chavtes, and it's also spoken about in the Shev Yaakov, Chelek Aleph, Simen Memtes. It's all quoted in one of the footnotes of Hartman in the Maharal. But they're discussing the bracha of Birchas Torah, where the Magen Avram says if you're writing Torah, you don't make a Birchas Torah. Why? He says, well, it's just like here at Torah, if you're just thinking and learning. So it doesn't require any bracha. So the Rabbi Kiva Iger and the Shev Yaakov and others point out that if you're writing Torah, though, it 100% requires a bracha. Why does it require bracha? Because people can go ahead and read and learn from what you wrote. Therefore, it is Torah in its higher form. Anytime you're able to teach Torah, that's Torah in its highest form. So if you're even if you're only writing down Torah, you're not giving a shir anywhere, you're just writing down your own notes, you would require a birchas Torah in that. Why? Because other people can go ahead and read your notes, other people can learn from your stuff. The Sefer Achinuch Mitzvah Taf Yotes already points out that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is learned from the words Vishinantim Levanecha, which inherently means to teach. Vishinantim Levanecha, to teach your sons. The notion of Talmud Torah is, it's not just about the learning, but it's about the teaching, the spreading of Torah, to share Das Elokim, to share Ratzon Hashem, to share Torah, to teach Torah, to help people become more connected to Torah. That's one of the greatest things that we can do. So again, Techazer, we spoke a little bit about filling your bucket, not just learning Torah, but getting excited about Torah and appreciating what we do every single day. To come in with a hishtokakus, a chishek, an excitement, hislavas for learning Torah. And also recognizing that it's not b'dievet, it's not just a crack in our bucket, but we're mamish tipping our bucket. We're sharing Torah, and that's Torah at the highest form of Torah's chesed. I just want to add maybe one more nakuda. I think it's important to have sipuk in both. Meaning, you can't just say, oh, I enjoy the learning of the Torah. I'm not so thrilled with the learning with Baal Batim or giving shurim, but I do it because I'm able to learn all day long, so it's fine. Or you can say, I'm really not so thrilled about the learning Tusa Dharma in the morning, but I enjoy teaching Torah, I really enjoy giving shurim, I enjoy chavrus with Baal Batim. I really do think that if you're only in it for one and not the other, if you only enjoy one and not the other, so you're going to be disappointed, you're going to experience burnout at some point down the road. And therefore, I think it's critical to have sipuk in both. So each person's different. For some people to get sipuk in morning seder, afternoon seder, it's printing out your notes every 2-3 weeks and reviewing and recognizing how much you've accomplished. Maybe if it's for a chavrusa, again, everyone's different. I get it, and people's chavrusas are different. But maybe that means, once a month, whatever it may be, to go out instead of learning for those 45 minutes an hour in the base medrash, maybe just go get a Slurpee and come back, spend 20 minutes outside the base medrash discussing, asking your chavrusa, maybe, what have you learned over the past month? What's like a lesson? What's a line that's stuck out from the learning, whatever it may be. Again, everyone's different, so I don't want to give any kolam. But the point is, often getting that sipuk comes from doing something outside the hergel and the day in and day out grind to take a step back and appreciate what you've accomplished. So I think maybe if we focus on those ideas, hopefully that'll be mechazik the base medrash. Hopefully, it'll be mechazik the base medrash here in the kolal in Ida Kran, and also a night seder in the shiram we give. And I hope everyone continues to be matzliach in their avodas hakodesh. And I hope everyone is really proud of what they're doing, because it's really a tremendous thing, and you're really doing amazing things within the community.